KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have a few sprinkles still in the air. It's 35 degrees. So far, we picked up just about a tenth of an inch of rainfall here in Atlantic overnight, and we look forward to be mostly cloudy and breezy today with occasional periods of light rain, but for the most part, those are moving off to the east-northeast. We look for a high around 41. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities from their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. A woman from Red Oak was arrested at around 3:30 this morning in Red Oak. Authorities say 30-year-old Sarah Ann Billy Kier was taken into custody for possession of drug paraphernalia, a simple misdemeanor. Billy Kier was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. A traffic stop at around 3 a.m. Sunday in Red Oak resulted in an arrest. 37-year-old Matthew William Goranson of Red Oak was taken into custody for OWI first offense. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $1,000 bond. A traffic stop just after midnight Sunday morning in Adams County resulted in the arrest of a man on a drug charge. Joshua Strange of Clarinda was taken into custody for possession of a controlled substance after a bag of methamphetamine was found inside of his vehicle. The Dallas County Sheriff's Office is investigating a fatal crash that turned fiery Sunday. According to reports, one person died after the vehicle they were driving rolled over a little before 6 p.m. near the intersection of Panther Creek Road and Old Highway 6. The vehicle left the road at a high rate of speed before rolling over, hitting a tree and catching fire. The name of the driver has not yet been released. Both lanes of Interstate 80 eastbound in Pottawatomie County were blocked for a couple of hours Sunday following a semi-tractor-trailer rollover accident that took place late Sunday morning. The crash took place at about mile marker 36 near Avoca. A detour was in operation until the wreck could be removed from the traveled portion of the road. The road was reopened to both lanes of traffic at around 1:30 p.m. Sunday. No additional details are currently available. Montgomery County Emergency Management Agency reports Villisca Fire and Rescue were paged out to the scene of a house fire in Villisca at around 8:15 p.m. on Friday. After they arrived on the scene at 3269 260th Street, crews attempted to make an aggressive interior attack to stop or slow down the spread of the fire in the home. However, crews were forced to back out and took up a defensive firefighting position due to the many issues they were faced with, including heat, smoke conditions, and ice. Firefighters were on the scene for about 3.5 hours before the fire was extinguished. An investigation had continued into the cause of the fire. The home and its contents were considered a total loss. There were no injuries to the occupants of the homes or the firefighters. Agencies assisting Villisca Fire and Rescue at the scene include the Stanton Fire Department, Grant Fire Department, Red Oak Rescue, Montgomery County EMA, Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and Communications, Villisca Power, and the American Red Cross. Elsewhere in the news, the Audubon School Board is set to meet this evening at 7 o'clock in the high school boardroom. Action items on their agenda include the possible purchase of a bus, setting the time and date for a public bargaining meeting for the board's proposal, possible action on staffing changes for fiscal year 21, including a half-time social worker, half-time interventionist, and half-time Title I teacher, along with an FFA assistant advisor. Possible action on non-certified health insurance and board policies. Approval also of a 28E agreement with the Woodward Granger School District. The Audubon School Board tonight is also expected to act on approving a superintendent memorandum of understanding with the Coon Rapids Bayard District, a continued sharing arrangement with CRB for the services of superintendent, human resources, transportation director, and elementary school counselor. Also setting the date and time for a public hearing on the school calendar and some personnel matters. A state court judge has heard arguments on whether to dismiss a lawsuit challenging a state law that passed last year that would block Planned Parenthood of the Heartland from receiving federal grant money for sex education courses. Judge Paul Scott is considering whether to dismiss the lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa on behalf of Planned Parenthood. It challenges the law passed on the last day of the 2019 session as a violation of free speech, due process, and equal rights protections. The judge last May halted enforcement of the law until the court decides on whether it is constitutional. And finally, in the state news, the 2020 census will begin with a mailing starting in mid-March. Census Bureau spokesperson Maureen Schreiner says it's important that everyone looks for and completes the census form to be counted. Schreiner says the census determines our legislative representation and also determines how much money communities get from the federal government.
Federal government over the United States every year decides on over $675 billion in funding. And that's for important services that your community benefits from.
Schreiner says some people are concerned that the information they provide on the completed census forms will be readily available. She says that and information is kept confidential.
So your individual information is never shared. For 72 years, it is locked down. It is confidential. It's not shared with any other government entities.
She says the information is only released in an aggregate form.
So actually, I mean, you can see this. You know, if you are going to look at the state of Iowa and you say, what do I want to know about the state of Iowa? And the first thing that will come up is census data. Oh, here's what the population of Iowa is. So the 2020 census actually tries to go out and capture the entire population. That's what it's used for. So it's not reported out on an individual basis.
Additional information about the census can be obtained by going online at www.2020census.gov. In the funeral announcements, William Galen Barrett, age 77, died Thursday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for William Barrett will be held today at 11 o'clock at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Marlene Radke, age 83, of Wisconsin and formerly of Manning, died Tuesday in Middleton, Wisconsin. Services for Marlene Radke will be today at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. John Larry, age 75, of Messina, died February 10th in Omaha. Funeral services for John Larry will be today at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Ernie Kapaska, age 92, of Dexter, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ernie Kapaska will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Dexter. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Marie Lentz, age 88, of Greenfield, died February 12th. Funeral services for Marie Lentz will be Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Sarah Catherine Johnson, age 37, of Stewart, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Sarah Johnson will be held on Thursday at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Paul Hare, age 64, of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Paul Hare will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Eileen Armstrong, age 90, of Greenfield, died Saturday at Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare. Funeral services for Eileen Armstrong will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Michael Wilson, age 64, of Erling, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. A memorial service for Michael Wilson will be next Saturday at 10:30 at the Faith Family Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. And Gerald Karras, age 89, of Messina, died Saturday in Des Moines. A family visitation for Gerald Karras will be held on Saturday from 3 until 5 p.m. at the Greenfield Gospel Chapel, immediately followed by a luncheon. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities. From their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.